Lord Christ, your holy word guides us through our days and nights. Thank you for showing us your path. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to Keith and the Girl. A lot of people, of course, listening to us on the Keith and the Girl iPhone app. Totally free right now. Oscar downloaded it. He's from the trash can in Sesame Street, Florida. He says, I'm listening to this. It's in the What's Hot section on iTunes, and it's the worst radio station ever. I don't understand this version of Poison doing sexy back, and this is the worst thing I ever heard.
Well, he's Oscar from the trash can. I don't understand your place of living.
See? What is this? I don't understand it. Just kidding. Longtime listener. worst radio station. Yeah, people hear a song and they... can you imagine if a real radio station had instant feedback like that, where you can feedback about what song they're playing?
I think some of them are starting to... You can start texting them to a certain number, like one of those 60654 numbers.
Let me tell you a secret. Those, your calls go right in the garbage.
Yeah.
Everybody's songs are different that they want to hear. You know, they might have a website where you pick the top 10 or something like that, but nobody's going through your texts if you started commenting about every single song.
Oscar in the trash, though, I will take the bullet on that one, because Keith asked me what song I wanted to hear, mm-hmm. and I sarcastically said, some new Poison, knowing Keith would have it.
He said, I want to hear a hair band that should be done, yeah. but I want something from 2005.
Brett Michaels doesn't even listen to Poison shit in 2005. He makes it just for Keith.
Well, welcome everybody to Keith and the Girl. Ray DeVito is with us today, of course. His website is raydevito.net. And let me tell you something I just saw. I just saw his latest short video starring this guy, me. And I'll tell you something. I kick off the whole thing. And if I knew how I was being used, my price would have went up. I'm not going to lie. From bagels and orange juice. But I did a fantastic job, if I say so myself.
Yes, you did.
I don't want to give too much away.
Except that's how it starts.
Mm-hmm. That's how it kicks off the whole thing. And you did very good. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did like it. I do like it. It came out really nice. And it's good. It's really funny.
When do people see it?
I don't know yet. I think it might... it should be on Comedy Central's Adam.com and probably around the same time the Tudor season kicks off, because this is the final season of the Tudors.
And it's related to that.
It's loosely... it is based on Henry VIII. This is actually more historically accurate than the actual show, The Tudors. So.
Even though I say, Arthur! That's for a British accent. It's still accurate?
You're great. You're fantastic. What are you talking about?
I really thought it was impressive that I know where this stuff was filmed, and it was filmed by, you know, amateurs. You didn't go to school for this. Nobody's getting paid. It's just a bunch of actor friends getting together. And from what I heard from Keith... you know, you were in like the corner of your apartment for a part of it, and
it looks like you're in a big castle.
It was amazing. Oh, I mean, well, you really got me, and I knew how it was done. I'm really impressed with that. That's hard to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it came out pretty well. And a lot of big thanks though goes to Paulina, who's a friend of the show.
Right.
She's got those costumes for us from the Lincoln Center. Those are like $1,000 outfits.
Oh yeah, those were impressive. Yeah. Paulina is the non-comic that you see at every comedy place. She knows all the comics. She's the sweet, sweet person. She did the outfits for Viva Pachiva, my play, and she's an incredible seamstress. She sewed some of the costumes together. So, yeah, it's very lucky to have her on the job usually.
But
yeah,
she talks awesome. So quiet. She's one of these people that talks so quiet. Your ears bleed after talking to her because you've strained so hard. And I think I've said yes to a lot of things I probably shouldn't have. Because I really don't. It's almost, if I can't understand you on the 10th time, it's almost offensive. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just like, yes. Perfect.
You would. Are you really trying? Would.
Well, yeah, she was talking about Bon Jovi. It can't be that important. So I'm like, yes. Agreed.
What are you talking about, Keith? You are the one donating a kidney to her father. You didn't know this?
Oh, no.
That was you. She's very thankful.
Oh, my goodness.
It's funny because she's a tiny, tiny person physically, right. And her voice just matches it. I can only imagine that, you know, her lung capacity can only go but so much to, like, project right. as much as everybody else. She's so little. Her name is Paulina Reutemann, and you can find her on Facebook. She's all of our friends on Facebook.
Well,
she's gorgeous.
I brought it up to her, and it was like the first time she was ever told. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. You talk very quiet. And they're like, yeah, quiet? I'm like, yes. Or no. Which one is good? Right. That one.
Well, with that story, we just won Oscar from the trash can. He says, oh, shit, this is fucking awesome.
All right. Hey, we won him over.
Yeah. Can he change his 0 stars to 5 stars? I don't know.
Some guy in the trash likes you guys. How about that?
Kinda went to see Ben Lerman doing the match game again yesterday.
Yeah, it's a new location, and he's trying it out again. It was brilliant. I sat there going, I can't believe yet another show that I get to go to that is just, you know, talent, talent, talent. The guy from New York One was there.
Not him.
He was hilarious. I'm forgetting his name right now.
The main guy, the smarmy white guy?
The one who reads the newspaper to you?
Right.
In the morning?
I've never watched New York One.
You don't understand. Everybody swoons over this guy.
Really?
Yes. Really? Yes.
He's not like, no offense, but he's not like Johnny Handsome.
Yeah, he's like a dorky guy.
Right.
You know, very dorky guy. Very like, yeah, okay, you're on New York One. You're reading the newspaper to me. That makes sense. But
When did that become something? That's...
I know. It's so cute.
And you know what else you see a lot on the news? More often than not, when they go to a story, they just take it from YouTube. And you see it all grainy because they enlarged it. It's like, wow, your research must be so easy nowadays.
Right. That's
compared
right.
to the old days.
Reporting is just Googling.
Right.
You know, looking your information up.
Source, Wikipedia, YouTube.
Yeah, but half of it's bullshit. Like, you got to really, do they reference it? Like,
That it's from YouTube?
Yeah. Because they got to be like, half the shit on YouTube's like,
ridiculous. Well, I don't think they have a choice, though. I think the YouTube logo is right there. By the way, his name is Pat Kiernan. And the ladies are swooning, and it's just maybe it's that endearing kind of swoon that, like, you know, let's be real. I'm not going to date you, but, you know, I might blow you in the bathroom real quick, you know.
Okay.
Just to say, you know.
I've met that guy.
Like, while you read the newspaper to me on my head, mm-hmm. you know.
What are the big stories today that interest you?
Right. Oh, your dick is the big story.
Is he the one that MTA proposed the contract today? They're looking at it.
To be honest, I'm not awake that early in the morning, but I do recognize his face.
But you know what it looks like? It's not like he went through the paper ahead of time. It's like you're with your husband or wife at the breakfast table, and you're just skimming through it. I've seen this on this show. The MTV, honey, is doing something. They're going to cut some subway tracks, it looks like. Other news, Lindsay Lohan fell down. Apparently, she's drinking again.
But so maybe that's why people like him so much, because it feels like you're watching your husband. You're with your husband in the morning with your orange juice. You know what I mean? I mean, women are crazy.
So he's just reading you the newspaper?
Yes.
The shit you should be doing on your own? Like, like you're a little child. Like, just you read this. I'm illiterate. Just...
Well, the idea is that you're getting ready and you have NY1 in the background as he's reading it to you because you're so busy because you're a New Yorker. He'll just read the newspaper for you while, you know, you put on your mascara and you get dressed for work.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he was one of the panelists, and he was really charming and funny, and there were other people on there. The most disappointing person to me, and I'm really sorry to say this, and Keith, you know, I hate when Keith is right, like, about these things, because I don't want to shit on a comic, and I don't want to, you know, have one experience and then, you know, base my entire opinion on this person, because I think that's not fair. I think, especially with comedians, you know, you can have an off night, you can whatever.
Tell me who else was on there. I'll tell you who your problem was with.
I have to look it up really quickly. I just had it. Jessica Delfino.
Okay.
Sarah Schaefer. Judy Gold, Michael Musto, Frank DeCaro.
Okay, I know who it is.
I already know who you are.
And Pat Kiernan, obviously. Who?
I'll say it.
It's Judy Gold. Am I correct?
It was.
Okay,
yeah.
And here's the problem. I'll tell you your problem, I wasn't there. She's too good for the joint.
She was.
She doesn't understand. These comics, they do this, if they have any kind of success. Michael Musto is another one, by the way.
Michael Musto, I really think you're wrong about him. I think he was very funny. Okay, maybe I didn't see his attitude, and that's the thing. Maybe he feels that way, and we know it, but he doesn't show his attitude. He jokes around about, you know, like, oh, look at this big-time show I'm in and whatever, but Judy's eye-rolling could not be stopped, and you could probably see it from our house. you know, and I was in New York City right. watching this. It was really obnoxious, and I even saw her after, and I'm like, oh, you know, my friend is a big fan. She was like, yeah, hi, you know, and you're there, and then
ever since she started doing all those movies, she started having a big head.
She did
what
a movie.
What movie?
Thank you.
No, I got a little bit of a beef with her because she was supposed to do a Sacapuntas and was like on the fence all the way up until like the day. And it's like, listen, don't bother. Like, if you're going to come do it, great. If you're not, that's fine. But we right. only got an hour and a half. We don't want to like move around people's time and the chance that you might show up. It's like, so I just told her and she got kind of like, really? You don't want me then? It's like. And then I never responded back.
But so you
good
didn't...
for you, Ray. Good yeah. for you, because that's so unfair. And even the fact that she was dragging you along until the day of. See, here's the thing. It's not like she probably never produced a show before in her life or was never involved on that end. And it is sweat to get these shows. I mean, your show is four or five comics. It's still a pain in the ass, isn't it? To get those comics together, to get everybody there on time, to run the show perfectly, seems like it's not that big a deal. But with people being wishy-washy about your show, it just doesn't help put it on. Here's another thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, one second. Are you upset that the audience doesn't get to hear Judy Gold talking about her deviated septum and how it makes sound, or maybe answering machine messages from her mother that I heard when I first came to New York, which is 12, 14 years ago?
Well, the thing that like of our show, which as you know, it's always a good show. So like our people pretty much come because they know it's going to be a good show. So they don't give a damn if Judy Gold's on the show. Like no one's like, ooh, Judy Gold's going to be here, sweet.
Right, let's say for the match game, two people came because they saw Judy Gold's name on there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the point of him doing, you know, different mm-hmm. Different people from slightly different genres, you know, to get a draw. You're rolling your eyes at your own audience, and you're rolling your eyes at Ben, who worked very hard to get there, and you agreed to do it is the point. You agreed to be there at whatever small or big show it is. So that was obnoxious. Then the kicker was, you know, Ben takes a picture. I tweeted it last night. They take a picture all together with all the panelists and with him and his showgirl person. It's really cute. She actually is saying, while they're taking a picture, she's saying, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home.
She Nancy Kerrigan'd it.
Do you understand that she was on stage doing this? I want to go home. It's not that big a venue. I can hear you.
Oh, jeez. Didn't Nancy Kerrigan do that? Remember back in the Olympics, she was at Disney World, and the whole time she's like, this sucks.
No, you're exaggerating. She was overheard by a camera, like, I want to go home. This is lame. And she thought she was whispering, but she was an international star, so she didn't realize you got these paparazzi is all around you, and she didn't recognize somebody had a mic on her somehow.
Oh.
But she wasn't walking around like with a big attitude.
She really, and you know what on top of that is very funny. You know, some of Judy's her initial couple of jokes didn't get any response, and she's having a heart attack. But it doesn't matter, Judy. What do you care? And
right.
she's freaking out. She's like, you know, none of these people are on my side. They're not laughing at my jokes. Like, into
not your
the mic,
side.
You know?
People, the audience yeah. gets together and
yeah,
decides
yeah, yeah.
what comics. We're not going to help Judy today.
Yeah, like it's a competition.
Yeah,
right.
it was. It's really funny. And it wasn't, I don't know. Why are you shitting on something you said yes to? If you think it's beneath you, just don't do it. Because
right.
the couple of people that you're being introduced to as audience, because, sorry, Judy, not everybody knows you. I'm sure that half our audience listening is like, who the fuck is this bitch?
Well, I don't know how this talking head, Michael Musto, I guess he was so fucking funny yesterday that you're in love with him all of a sudden.
I'm not in love with him.
He had an attitude. He was too good for the joint when he was on it with us. And quite frankly, you can tell by his face, that wrinkled up face, that he disliked us.
But, he disliked us?
Yeah, disliked us. Disliked the whole panel. And was had the exact same attitude towards the audience. So good for him that he turned you around yesterday.
Well, again, I try not to judge with just one encounter. But Jessica Delfino, who's been on our show before, was awesome as usual. One of my favorites was Frank DeCaro, who has his own show on XM Sirius, who I'm going to be inviting on our show. But he was the best kind of panelist to have. Like, he has his own show. He's very funny, and he doesn't think anything is beneath him. He's there to have a good time. He's like with it, and you know, he really, whether he thinks, oh my God, I have my own show, why should I be here? Mm-hmm. Was so not, and why do you think that? Why would anyone think this is beneath them? who are you? I was able to contact you, which means I'm able to contact you, you know, like, which means I can get you to be here. And the proof is that you're here. Very obnoxious.
Not nice.
But Ben was awesome. It was a really, really great show. I don't know why people missed this. If you missed it, don't miss the next one. Actually, the next one is ours, the match game April 16th. During the week of when everybody's here for the April 15th Keith show, go to keithandthegirl.com/tickets to get tickets for Keith's show. Go to keithandthegirl.com/events for all the rest of the week's events during that time.
What kind of events are there?
Well, we have the match game on April 16th, and the match game is followed by a bingo game. And we are now announcing April 17th is the screening of Keith's movie, She's Crushed. We're going to watch it all together.
Hey, isn't how that about cool? that?
And then we're going to do a live KATG show, live Keith and the Girl show right after that. It's all going to be in New York City, the InterArts Theater, which is the place that I did Viva Pachiva last year. That's for the match game and for the live show.
And if you have a Keith and the Girl tattoo, now up to 60-
April 1st.
Now up to 64 or 5 tattoos.
Something like that.
Right. But anyway, if you have one, and get this in by April 1st, let us know you have the tattoo. You'll get in free, not only for the April 15th show, but for every Keith and the Girl event that whole week.
There you go. And so you only have to tell me one. So if you told me that you'll be there for April 15th, your name will now be on the list for the 16th and the 17th as well. Go to keithandthegirl.com/events. We also have an event on April 11th coming up, which is an absolutely free event to everybody. We have March 30th coming up next week. Jesse and Pat.
The Battle Royale.
Exactly. That will be hosted by Keith. So check out our events page.
I want to see them wrestle. They both get winded within like 10 seconds to be the most fucking feeble.
Oh my God, that we should add that to the ballot. Like, who's a better comic, but who would kick the other person's ass?
The show at Comics is also honoring the free tattoos. Did you just say that?
I didn't just say that. Yeah, if you have a free Keith and the Girl and Keith and the Girl related tattoo, you get in free at Comics for March 30th Battle Royale.
Look at that.
Isn't that funny?
The two of them going at it head to head.
I'm making them wrestle. I don't know why they're writing jokes.
They couldn't. They'd both be winded.
When they got in the stance.
When I first moved here, Jesse's like, hey, you want to go out and throw a baseball around? It lasts like for like 5 minutes. And then if you threw it like 2 inches away from where his glove was, right, he wouldn't even attempt to catch it. And he just like walks in disgust as he walks to go get the baseball. It's like, so like this, it wasn't even fun. It was like, this is stupid.
He's like, dude, this is just daddy issues. I don't want to exercise.
Yeah.
I found this interesting. I complain about the price of printer ink. We all do. University of Wisconsin-Green Bay has switched its stationery font from Century Gothic to Arial, saying it will save thousands in ink costs. The new font uses about 30% less ink.
Jesus.
I hear you, buddy.
I rate my notes in 112 point, and I probably should be saving some ink there.
There's something with Kodak with a disposable printer or something. Do you see that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's commercials for it right now. I don't know what it is, but it's supposed to be so you never have to buy ink cartridges again. Some new type of Kodak printer.
You know what? It makes sense where there's been studies done. I just don't have the time, but there's studies done that you, instead of buying new ink, no exaggeration, buy a new printer and actually save money. Mm-hmm. How insane is that? So yeah, this isn't great. It sounds dumb, a disposable printer, but how about just lower ink? You know, you're definitely ripping us off without question. But yeah, a printer, you just keep buying a new printer every month, every other month, every 3 months, I'm in.
But for us, it would be more. I was just researching a little bit with my brother. Maybe we could use a new printer that has cheaper ink, or, you know, a printer that prints out more for its ink. And, you know, he's showing me printers that are like $300. The ink is $100 for the color and $50 for the black ink. And I'm like, well, you know, sometimes we can't buy $100 worth of ink, but it does print out a little bit more. But the research just like kind of drives you nuts and you just give up.
Right.
And Keith, if we were to rebuy a printer every time we needed new ink, I don't know if you know this, we would buy a new printer every week. And we spend $50 on ink a week.
Really?
Yeah.
And do you know what? And once a week, I don't want that hassle of setting up a printer. Sometimes it's not that easy. So, oh well.
I know. What's funny is we're an internet office. You know what I mean? Imagine if this was older times where if you wanted to pass things to each other, you actually have to print it and go and give it to someone. Or, do you know what I mean? But we print a lot for the notes and things like that. But yeah, $50 worth of ink every week. It's crazy.
Like one sheet of paper right here. It says Ray DeVito on it. Now I'm on a new sheet of paper.
Blame me for your ink. I should have had a shorter name.
I saw this.
It's my fault.
At keithandthegirl.com/forums, you know, it's a big community there and everybody's hanging out. Also, there's a section where we talk about that day's show. There's a show section. And you have, you know, each show has a separate thread. So you can talk about how I messed something up. Well, we'll put these videos that I'm talking about right now on today's show thread. I saw these wrestling bloopers online on YouTube. And it's so great. I mean, there's some that are just plain accidents. All these wrestlers are falling on their head. They didn't do a move right. They're getting kicked in the crotch, something like that. That's not what amazes me so much. What amazes me is the ones where, and how you can believe in wrestling after you see these, is some kind of sick denial. Somebody will come behind and try to, one wrestler will hit another wrestler from behind, but didn't connect, didn't even touch, but the wrestler knows the moves. So the other wrestler just falls down, but nobody even touched him. In fact,
wait a minute, Keith. Are you saying wrestling's fake?
I'm saying that nobody's even touching
you. You're fucking in your mid-30s, and you're still like holding on to wrestling. I can't believe this. It might not be real.
I'm not saying it's not fake, but you don't think it's a little ridiculous when one wrestler jumps out of the ring, trying to jump onto two wrestlers, misses them both, but the wrestlers don't, all they know is what the script is, so they just fall down for no reason. That's amazing to me.
See, I think what Ray is finding amazing is that you're like, get this, everybody. Wrestling's fake, and I have the proof here.
Right, is that what he thinks I'm saying?
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to post it on keithandthegirl.com/forums. You're not going to believe this.
You're blowing the cover off of this. Like the guy that found, you know cigarettes are bad for you? Did you know that? You can't just breathe in fire.
No, I'm saying I think it's funny when you have one wrestler and they're grabbing the other wrestler and bang him into the ring, say four times, but the wrestler getting banged into the ring thinks it's supposed to be five times, and after the fourth time, the wrestler throws himself into the ring. That's funny to me.
My favorite was, remember George Animal Steel?
Yeah.
He would eat the turnbuckle.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love how that whole arena, that was the only thing he would eat. Like, there's so much other shit to eat as you walk to the ring, like shit in near the ring. He always ate the turnbuckle.
Well, you know what they eat in parts unknown? Turnbuckle inside.
Yeah. And just the top turnbuckle. He never ate the middle one or the bottom.
I saw a video, and I'll put it on the website also. The wrestler Triple H is wrestling somebody, and he's beating the shit out of this guy, and he's about to do his finishing move, okay? Triple H just wearing his shorts, and that's it. Triple H doesn't remember that he doesn't have his T-shirt on anymore. And he's about to make a big move. So dramatically, he takes off his T-shirt that doesn't exist and then does his final move. Now, you tell me drugs aren't involved. Oh, my God. It was great.
That was also my favorite when they would, like, they wear those tiny pants and they would still, like, put shit in their pants. It's like, really? Yeah. What are you going to fit in there? Like, there's not that much room.
A crowbar sticking out, but the guy doesn't know. I don't understand. WrestleMania's coming up, and I'm in 2 days, I believe.
Oh, man.
I'm in. But, yeah, they have a crowbar in the thing. Here's what they should do, and I say this every WrestleMania, but come on, finally, people. Before the match starts, can a referee or two look under the mat? Okay. There's a couple. Quit putting these. You know what? I don't know who to blame. Do I blame the wrestlers or do I blame the cleanup crew? They lazily just throw trash cans, chairs right under the ring. Well, that's going to, in game time, these asshole wrestlers are going to use that. Can't you put your stuff away nicely and don't leave a broom out?
I'm going to put a machine gun.
And you know what? A wrestler would use it. Yeah. I've seen these videos.
And they wouldn't shoot each other. They'd hit each other with it.
They do. They take out a sledgehammer, and you're like, you're going to kill him. And then they take the handle part and just poke him. I'm like, you were going to whack his head off. Now, that's inhuman.
Sugar Bear is getting upset with you. How dare you,
He's
Keith?
A wrestler, yes.
Yeah. I let you in on the secrets of the wrestling business and you betray wrestling like this?
He's the guy that showed you how to blow out a knee
How to blow out a knee.
Here's my finishing move.
This was last year.
Mm-hmm. After the April 15th show, we hung out for a while. They went to different bars. I went home after like the second bar or something. And then Keith eventually at like 5 in the morning went with a few people to Ray's Pizzeria. Not yours, Ray. I don't know if you know that. On Houston. And they're eating pizza and Shug Bear's there. And he actually plays pro wrestling like on the weekend or something like that. And he's like, you want to do this move where you turn a human being upside down and then you crash land him on the floor. So maybe two people should know how to do it instead of just one.
I believe a suplex, by the way.
And Shug Bear went, left the pizzeria in an ambulance or in a cab to a hospital. And
you don't mess with the Silver Dragon.
Blew out his knee.
I think every wrestler has to do that to make a dramatic exit. You got to call the ambulance and a stretcher.
You think he just wanted to be dramatic by showing his knee bent backwards? He apparently, even though he's the one doing the move to me, I'm supposed to be doing some work also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and apparently I wasn't just supposed to throw myself up in the air and say, you know what? I got it the first time. The second time, let's give him a show. We end up crashing to the ground. I bust a table in half. Apparently those tables are easy to break, so I believe that part's real now. Because I broke one in half. Okay, I believe John Cena can.
We talked a little bit about it on the live show that happened last year during the April 15th week. And Keith sort of shows the move. You can see it at keithandthegirl.com/live. There's a 2-minute clip about the show, like a trailer for that show. And you can get that show and those other live shows at keithandthegirl.com/live.
And you'll see the move. That Rectaman. He's back, by the way. He's been working out, and he's back into wrestling, I understand.
Oh, okay,
Rectaman?
Good.
Destroyed.
His name is Rectaman?
I wrecked a man.
Oh, I wrecked a man. I thought...
It would be.
I thought a Rectaman? It's like, what the fuck?
So Rectaman is doing good. And he's asking right now for a rematch April 15th. I'm good. Oh. I leave on a high note. Families of those who died on United Airlines Flight 93. Let me grab this real quick. Hey, what's going on? You're on Keith and the Girl. And I think I have the sound off. Ah, well, that didn't work out. Somebody got shy. Families of those who died on United Airlines Flight 93 told lawmakers yesterday that plans for a 9/11 memorial at the crash site in Pennsylvania are on track. The memorial's first phase should open on the 10th anniversary of 2001 terrorist attacks, the group families of Flight 93 told a House committee. Taking so long?
This is the thing that we went to, right, when we visited your hometown?
No, because this thing isn't ready yet. They're in talks about a memorial. We did see a memorial. This happened very close to my hometown. Happened in a field, and then off the field they have, you know, pictures and everything. It was a makeshift memorial that the town made.
I thought it was real.
They put a lot of work into it.
Yeah.
But now they, you know, which is nice, have a nice government one, but are they going to have it in the field and now a guy can't grow his crops? You know, honestly.
Right.
There's something nice that they did themselves, not waiting on the government, but what takes 10 years for a memorial? You know, work on the Pentagon, you know, work on New York City.
Yeah, it's almost been 10 years.
Time went by. You can work on a shit little town in Pennsylvania now. Mm. It's a little disrespectful,
this,
I think.
This is in some guy's corn crops?
Yeah. Big field. There's luckily.
I saw a memorial. I was in, where was it? Clear Lake, Iowa, where the Buddy Holly plane.
Right.
And they have like a little thing in the cornfield. It's just a little.
Are they saying that was shot down too?
No. Oh, yeah. You know what? I didn't want to get into it because I didn't know like how close you are to it. But I just saw a buddy of mine's into like conspiracy theories. And he was saying like, how, like, where the plane, like, so supposedly went into the Pentagon. It's, like, the exact thing of what a missile looks like. Well, saying that a lot of that was staged.
There's these videos, of course, and I started watching some of them. And I'm like, if people are taking the time, why are we dismissing things? Why not take a look? I start watching these videos, and you can tell, and then right away, there's, like, two or three lies. Now, I can't think of anything offhand. But you can tell, like, you're making the, like, I can, not like this is hard to believe, the government's against itself, you know, against us, but these were just lies. And I remember bringing this up on this show, and I said, yeah, I checked out your Loose Change, these other ones, and I'm checking out these videos, and this is a lie, and this is a lie, and you know it. And they go, yeah, but there's other points. To me, I'm out on lie one. I'm not going to do the research. I'll be honest, you know. So you know what? If I know you're lying to me already, then I'm done. You're telling me somebody's a liar, but I catch you lying. So forget the whole thing. But I will. I can say this about Flight 93 that happened in Pennsylvania near Somerset, that people there were witnesses, and they say they saw what they believe is an F-16, but definitely a plane. They saw it clearly shoot down this plane.
That's what people say. Yeah.
And I do believe that.
I could buy that. Yeah, I could see that.
It's going to crash into a school, or it's going to crash in. There's a hospital very close, and it's not a coincidence that it went down. It's going to go down anyway. That doesn't bother me. So they shoot it down in the middle of a field.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, so wait, so that's bad because the government killed people?
Yes.
I don't think that's bad, though.
Right, but who's, you know.
Right, but then they have to get a lot of slack for
it's supposed to go to what?
Plane.
D.C., right? That's where it was headed?
I believe so, yeah. And there's a guy that we know, like I know his name, from Somerset, and he was hired to bury parts of the plane, and he's a mess now. Saying that he knows he's covering up secrets, and he became a little crazy.
Yeah, this whole thing is creepy.
So something's happening. I do believe that, but then I think it goes too far. I do not believe that explosives were in the World Trade Centers. I don't believe, and never mind flat out lies that will not let me watch these videos.
Did you ever what's that show with Art Bell on mm-hmm. talk radio?
Science. He's into aliens and everything.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and like a lot of it's very interesting, but. All the shit's in left field. Like, it's just all too crazy. Like, you're like, ooh, you're kind of with it. And then the guy's like, and so raccoons are really running the government. And you're like, all right, wait a minute. Like,
you know what? Right.
Enough shit where you're like, it's too weird.
If, you know, that's the problem with conspiracy shows, like Art Bell, where maybe if you told me a conspiracy once in a while, but somehow you have enough conspiracies for 4 or 5 hours a day every day. Calm down.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's a conspiracy. It's like it's all in left field.
Right. I always machine is saying, I heard Chemda knew about 9/11 ahead of time. You know, we do this show as a favor.
Robert De Niro's car driver ended up causing a mess. He dropped off Robert De Niro at the LaGuardia Airport yesterday morning, and the paparazzi were there. And so the chauffeur pepper sprayed the paparazzi. And you know these annoying paparazzi. This is TMZ, too. They're the kings of it. But these annoying paparazzi, I mean, they're like, you're a piece of shit. I'm glad your son died so that you flip out. Jeez, I mean, these guys are animals.
That should somehow be against the law.
I think it's against the law. And you understand. You hear, do you feel bad? I don't feel bad. Sean Penn smacks a guy? Good. That Brad Garrett smacks a guy? I get it. It makes sense to me. But I do understand why you can't, and it's so that other people don't get hurt, I think. The drama unfolded shortly before 10 a.m. when this guy, the videographer is 37 years old. He spotted De Niro pulling up to the Delta Terminal building with two family members, believed to be his wife and their son. He said he was able to shoot the video despite the driver and bodyguard trying to block him. Very important. Good. You got your work done. What's De Niro look like today? As he was leaving the terminal, the driver blasted him with pepper spray. It was totally unprovoked, he says. I already had my shot of De Niro. Okay, that's what you do, by the way. You go, and I just needed my shot. Fair's fair. You're a celebrity. We pay too much for your tickets. I got my, and I'll leave. No, you hound them until they get to the gate, and it's a little too
just
much.
Just in case.
Right.
But, well, but anyway, it might be legal to hound them because, you know, you're in public space, but is it legal for the driver to just pepper spray someone without...
Well, of course it's not. They want you to hit them.
I just think it's weird that your driver would take it upon himself to break the law so that you can walk through an airport. I wouldn't do it as a driver.
I think those paparazzi guys, it's kind of like in basketball, the guy trying to draw a charge. Like when a guy's coming full speed to the basket and you stand in front of him and like just take the charge. I'm like, I'm just taking it for the team. Just let him run him over.
The EMS treated him and a 4-month-old girl that got caught in the blast. So there's a big point on why you can't fight these people.
Yeah.
But my God, but if they're alone, man, there's plenty of examples, but I recently saw one with Quentin Tarantino, and you can tell he's really out of the way. He's probably on vacation. He's close to a turnpike, and he looks like he's walking from probably his hotel to a little cafe shop. So he's walking. So paparazzi just stand there and harass him and bring out, like, ah, you broke up with Uma Thurman. Did you have an affair? I mean, just trying to be an asshole to get punched. And then Quentin Tarantino has to walk back to his hotel with this asshole just harassing him. That is insane.
It is
it's
insane.
Like, go ahead, hit me then. You want to hit me? Like, you want to hit me. That's not a threat. Do you? I understand it's a question, but that's not a threat when somebody's in your face going, you want to hit me? I don't hear the question mark.
But you don't mind Keith getting famous. Are you changing your mind now that the paparazzi is getting more and more aggressive? Because it used to be you get famous, you get hounded at, you know, Planet Hollywood. You know, you get hounded at a couple of places, maybe only in New York and L.A. Now they're following you on vacation. They're literally following you on vacation. They have spies within the people that work for you that let them know you're going to, you know, Mexico and you're going to be at this resort, and they pay for their own ticket and fly down there just to follow you around.
I don't want that to happen, but I do want my entertainment career to be that big where that has to happen. I'm telling you what I would do, and I'm not joking. You hire paparazzi to follow around these paparazzi. Now, you can think like, oh, they don't care, but they're on a date with their wife. The wife is going to... You can break
up...
You
think they have wives?
They have some. They have something.
They have no souls.
Yeah, I don't know about that, Keith. I think they only come out to lurk.
I feel bad for those paparazzi dudes that, like, can't get it done. The guy that used to get Russell Crowe to flip out and punch him, and, like, no one's hit him in, like, 5 years. And he's just, like, fucking on a plane going, all right, I got to get a rise out of this fucker today. Brad Pitt's going to fucking kick me in the balls. I could feel it.
Right. Look at TMZ. They're all young kids. These guys are dating.
Yeah, I don't know that they're on the field, though.
Who cares?
Right. No, you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter, because even if you're not on a date per se, somebody standing outside, they get the newspaper in the morning, you get them in their underwear.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, sure. I like your idea a lot. Because if you are being followed, you do have a lot of money. And so, and in fact, hire half the paparazzi. They all hang out with each other. They all know each other's name. Hire half of them to follow the other half. And they won't be able to resist because they're scumbags. That's your friends. Now you're all following each other. Go fuck yourself and destroy their whole system.
DJ Trashy is saying, little baby faggot fears no camera.
Good job, little baby faggot.
It's very true. Roger Ebert wants to have another movie show about him. He, of course, was Siskel and Ebert.
About him or hosting?
He wants to host one.
Mm-hmm.
And... He'll only be on sometimes, but let's not forget. Now, Siskel, of course, is dead. He died of cancer, 53, brain cancer. But this other guy, Ebert, he had a stroke. He's in a wheelchair now. He talks through a speaking spell. He's drooling all over himself. I don't need to see you.
If your job was to speak, and your job was to speak, you weren't a model, but you were a spokesperson.
Your job was to ruin people's movies dreams, right?
Well, but that's your job. You stand in front of a camera, or you sit, rather, in front of a camera with some popcorn. Your job is to speak. If you don't have the capacity to speak anymore, you lost your job. I mean, when a model gets old, she loses her job. Yeah. If a singer loses their voice, they lose their job. If that's what you're relying on, you don't have a job anymore.
Oh, someone tell Dick Clark, because that is just uncomfortable. That is so uncomfortable. It's so, you watch it, though, just because it's so uncomfortable. Like,
and
I
he's
have
being
to
confused
watch
because everyone's watching. Right. He's like, look, I'm still big. I still need to be the person sitting here.
That's how I want to start a new year. You know how we are every year. This year's mine. This is going to be the year. Oh my God.
So bad. It's so like.
You know, for those who didn't watch and think Keith is exaggerating, I saw a few bits of it, and I'm like, oh, my God.
He really talks like this. It's really weird.
I got me. I got you. And I got hey, Crash. And I got all the kids enjoy. And you're going to have a great time. And have a great time. And it's cold. It's a serious little war. And I got you. Lady Gaga.
And life is only gonna get worse for me.
You finally get a chance to be with your wife. You have enough money,
you know,
enough success, enough notoriety. You made it in your career. You produce the freaking New Year's Eve in New York and around the world. You produce it. Hang out with your wife on New Year's
Eve. I think
Eve.
He hates his family. I think he hates it. I think that's what it is.
It could be.
Right.
I gotta go back to work.
Yeah. No, I think every athlete that retires, I always say, now you just spent out time with my family. You didn't want to. You have 7 kids with 11 different women or some shit.
Does he really?
No, I'm just saying. Like all these athletes have like all these babies and all these different baby mamas.
I don't see the point now. Like the internet's changing everything, of course. And wrestling's fake, okay? That's just it. But we don't need a movie review show anymore. I used to watch Siskel and Ebert religiously. That's where you saw movie promos. Without going to the theater. You saw movie promos. They gave a fucking dumb opinion or two.
You're right.
But I was more in it for the promos.
You're right, because any other time you wanted to see the promo, you wouldn't have the internet. You would have to catch the commercial.
Right.
So, yeah, these people were in the new. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to know what movies are coming out, basically you watch that show, you watch the preview, you get to know it a little bit. Oh, my God, you're so right.
Now you find out the second five new Iron Man 2 videos come out. You don't wait until the weekend for Siskel and Ebert.
I will tell you this right now. Shutter Island is a great movie. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm. I hear it's fantastic.
It's really good.
I figured it out during
watching. Fuck Siskel and Ebert. I will tell you. Go see Shutter Island.
I figured out the movie watching the promo. What do you think of that?
No, you didn't.
No?
No, you didn't.
There's
so many, like, it's one of those which...
Did you watch it, though, Keith, after?
Does it ruin it that I'm smart enough to know that Leonardo DiCaprio is a patient in that mental hospital?
Just watch the movie.
Okay.
Just watch the movie.
All right.
Hmm.
It's a lot of twists. A lot of twists.
That's never...
You'll like it.
That's never a plus, by the way.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio is really good in it, though.
When something has 12 twists, it usually means that they didn't plan the time writing that they should
have. No, here's the deal. It's one of those where it twists, and then if you go back and watch it again, you see some stuff like that doesn't really make sense, but then like when it all comes to fruition, you're like, oh my God.
I hate those movies worse. A movie that makes no sense at all, and you put it together in the last 5 to 10 minutes in quick flashes. Remember this? Well, here's why. I hate that.
Fuck that, because Fight Club is the exact opposite. Like, Fight Club does not make sense, or that movie does not make sense for the fact that when Meatloaf, all right, everyone knows that Brad Pitt and Norton are the same guy. Right, yeah. You learn that at the end. All right, if that's the case, when Meatloaf and Ed Norton kind of catch up in the middle, and he's like, oh, you go to Fight Club? He's like, oh, yeah, I do. I was like, really? Well, I go too. What night do you go? I go this guy. I go the night where this guy, Tyler Durden, that conversation never would have happened. He would have been like, oh, I go on Tuesdays. Like, yeah, I know. You're the guy that fucking runs it when I'm there. Like, that's clearly you. We see each other every Tuesday. And the fact that he was like, oh, really? You go that day? Because I go this day. Like, because it, and some people say, defend it by saying, well, they say the first rule is don't talk about Fight Club. Well, fuck that. They already did talk about it. Like, they're talking about it. So they already broke that rule. So that's my loophole of that movie, where it does not fucking make sense.
Keith, I think you should see Shutter Island.
I'm going to see it.
All right.
It's good. You'll like it.
Right
you
now,
will like it.
Tonight, I'm going to see Capitalism, a Love Story. I wonder how it ends. So Ebert's saying, yeah, he's going to come back with this show. He decided? Yeah, he decided. I guess he's still got movie bucks. You know, crush some dreams and you make some money. You know what? My problem also with these movie reviews is don't review. You know, I'm not going to see a French movie. Like, I'm into Scorsese. So I'll give my opinion on Shutter Island. You listeners can decide if you want to see it or not. But I'm not going to rent a French movie and then shit all over it. That's not my thing. Siskel and Ebert, like the majority of critics, I understand why we have critics. It doesn't really bother me. But you can't go by critics. I really don't think so, for the most part. I really don't think
so. You can go by those sites where they have a whole bunch of people joining in, and then your average kind of leverages.
Yes. You know? A Rotten Tomatoes, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. But otherwise... You have,
but also, by the way, don't you just want to see a movie or not? I never look up reviews because I don't care what you think. You know, why would Chocolat, if I were to go on Rotten Tomatoes, would probably say half the people would say it sucks because it's not really a guy movie or whatever your hang up about it is. I want to go see it because I'm interested in the story. I don't understand what following reviews is. You're so afraid that you might see a movie that sucks that you have.
It's
you know?
Chocolat. I'm not seeing it.
Right.
Chocolat.
Right. It's like, chocolate.
It makes me gay just saying it. I feel.
See, but you already know.
I already know.
You know what I mean?
I don't like penises in my mouth, so I will not see chocolat.
It's so funny. That's exactly every guy's response to when I say chocolat.
It's the gayest fucking. Let's say we want no dudes to ever see this movie. We're going to call it chocolat.
The first time I saw the movie, I saw it with this guy that I was seeing, and he's like, motherfucker, the fucking name was Chocolat.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he's the one who introduced me to it. I had no idea about this movie. And then, like, the next day he gets an email, like, the 10 top reasons why guys shouldn't watch Chocolat or whatever. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're forwarding this to me because, like, he was genuinely upset with me for watching it.
Oh,
I was like, I didn't even know about this movie.
Did you know that it was originally called Chocolat with Nuts?
Oh!
But you'll have these reviews. You'll have Siskel and Ebert review the Andrew Dice Clay concert movie, Dice Rules, where he does Madison Square Garden. They're like, it's vulgar, it's whatever, it's crap. Okay. But then you shouldn't be reviewing The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Right.
This guy offends me still.
Yeah, because the only way that you want to watch these guys is, do you have an old man perspective in movies?
Right.
You will agree with these people.
Right.
You know, that's it. So who's watching this?
You have a guy, you know.
Your demographic is narrowing the more, the older these people get.
A magazine has a couple movie reviewers. So I remember this guy, Lou Luminick, just because I don't know why, but I really remember this review. It was for Jackass.
I was just going to say that. Like, I cannot picture Siskel and Ebert saying anything good about Jackass.
Well, this guy Lou wrote, and I think it's for Jackass 2. So he already knows he didn't like Jackass 1. He reviews Jackass 2 and gives it no stars in the newspaper. No stars. Then is it for you? After the first ball punching, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
At the last 5 minutes, I bet they tie it all together. Hey, remember this pissing, eating your piss in a snow cone? We'll tie that to earlier, and they're all the same person.
I like how we're still, like, I'm dicking on Siskel and Ebert, even though one of them hasn't been alive for 10 years. Still getting all my shit.
One's dead, one has a stroke. I hate them both. Ebert has been battling cancer and can only speak with an artificial vocal device. But he says he still wants to do another movie review show. He says, in quotes, "We believe a market still exists for a weekly show where a couple of critics review new movies." He writes in his blog. He wrote in his blog, excuse me. "I can't reveal details about the talks we're deeply involved in. I can say that the working title was Roger Ebert Presents, fill in words here, and now it's Roger Ebert Presents at the Movie." So a big step for them. Very exciting. Ebert won't appear regularly on camera, but says he tested several potential hosts 2 weeks ago in L.A., and he knows who he will use. He says he'd like to make occasional appearances on the air. He says, "I'm not foolish enough to believe any form of back and forth debate is possible, but I could do great movie segments or a wrap up from Cannes or Toronto. I would like to hear you come back from the Cannes Film Festival. And this day," God, could just kill me. Just kill me. "I'm beautiful, spread for everybody." Oh my God, no thank you. Let's pass it to you, Dick.
They should be forced to like do a show with each other to see how retarded it looks for people with strokes to be talking in front of cameras.
And then we should be forced to watch it.
Ebert also said the new show would incorporate web elements, including Facebook, Twitter, iPad, and the whole enchilada.
Ethan Kay has a good point. Can he really say he was in talks?
Right.
He was in mumbles?
Don't be an asshole.
Look at this. Some people are really still listening to it. Sean is from work. He's saying, "My girlfriend goes by reviews. She doesn't see a lot of movies because of what these two douchebags say about it."
Well, he's not watching them.
No, his girlfriend is.
One's dead.
Well, whoever the two douchebags are.
Oh, okay.
We're still shitting on him. I don't care. He's still...
Does she like these movies from 1980?
Yeah. Gremlins. What do they say about Gremlins?
Now, there's new guys now. It's A.O. Scott and Michael Phillips does the At the Movie show.
I still don't like them.
Nah, they bother me. I don't know. Little snobbery, if you ask me. Where's your movies? Roger Ebert made a movie, by the way, in the Valley, Return to the Valley of Dolls, I believe. I watched it. I'm like, all right, critic, let's see your movie. It was horrendous, and Siskel never made a movie.
Wow.
But you can judge him. Is that fine? Is that dumb to complain about?
I think it is fine.
To complain about? Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is. No, I think it's okay to be a critic and not be. And
could
not
you
make
be
a
big food critic? Well, you know exactly what sauce, you know exactly what cheese goes with it. Well, put something together. Put a sandwich together. Is that why not?
You know
all the ingredients.
Because there's a different art to everything. Because I can judge a stand-up show. I can absolutely judge it very well because I know how much entertainment I'm getting from it.
And guess what?
That doesn't mean I can write comedy.
It means you can make people laugh.
I don't know that you have to make people laugh. You're an audience member. It's a different...
No, Hamda, you're a comedian. Like,
yes, she is.
You are.
I'm not a stand-up, though.
You're just being specific. You're acting like he can't judge drama, but he can do a comedy movie.
No, you do comedy. Like,
I can judge dance, like real for real. Well, not that great.
And can you dance? You can. You're rhythm, being modest.
But,
right.
But, you know, I don't know. I can judge a movie because I don't like it and I don't want to watch it. You know, you judge movies all the time on this show. Are you going to make a movie?
I'm the judging the movies. When's that show? Do you want to do that? Does that interest you?
Keith has done some acting and he's very good.
Thank you.
I gave him a good review.
Thank you very much. And that's why I think Shutter Island will be shit, but I will give it a chance. I judge based on the promos.
So does Siskel and Ebert, so it's...
Right. That's right. I didn't like this promo. Listen to this. KC and the Sunshine Band. They did, Get Down Tonight?
No, they did, Babe, I love you so, I want you to know
that I know your love. Did they do that? I don't think
out
so.
The door. Please don't go.
No,
that's
not
KC and the Sunshine Band.
I don't think so. That was one douchebag.
Well, it should have been.
No.
No, KC and Sunshine Band were more disco. Get Down Tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the way. Uh-huh. I like it. And I'm your boogeyman. That's when bands had 16 members.
Yeah, and they could afford it somehow.
Well, KC and the Sunshine Band, a 70s pop music group. I say disco. One of the members was arrested after a 17-year-old boy said he had sexual contact with a musician. His name is Richard Finch. And so they look into him, they interview him, they investigate everything, and Richard Finch admits, yeah, there's actually been a lot of boys. There's been multiple teenage boys from 13 to 17 years old.
Mm.
And now you're just associated with that band, man. If I was a band member, you try to do a gig, and it's like, hey, we're KC, and say, with the child molestation. Like, no, that guy's out. That guy's been out for 2 decades. It's like, I'm just going to have poison. It's not that important at the bowling alley.
And what's the name of the band again?
KC and the Sunshine Band.
This is KC of the Sunshine Band?
No, it's not KC. That's what he said. See, it's going to confuse people. He's like, no, the name was just in the...
It just sounds like the gayest band in the world.
KC and the Sunshine Band?
Yeah.
I really wanted that song to be theirs. That,
I don't think it is. Cause
damn it.
That was an 80s song, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
As when we were kids, I remember.
That was later, though.
Well, you can't change history. I've been saying that for years.
What's the song that you think they did? Sing it again.
Please don't go.
Don't go.
I'm begging you to stay.
Well,
please don't go. That guy had a weird voice. It doesn't sound like it. I don't think so.
See, now if Ray DeVito had a TV show where he judged music, I would call bullshit. Do you know what I mean?
You should. I should not be judging music.
Investigators said they arrested Finch this week. The sheriff's office statement lists the office as gross sexual imposition a felony. Statement on Finch's website. Very important. He has a lot of followers.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate your contact, but at this time we have no comment. We will let due process happen through the legal system, and through that, we are sure Mr. Finch will be vindicated of these unfounded allegations. Did Mr. Finch not write on his own website? Did his lawyer write on his website? And he called and went, yeah, he kind of already told him stuff. He admitted he's been with multiple boys, 13 to 17 years old. He will be vindicated of this. It looks like my client just opened his mouth. Here's a game. Here's Peggle.
That's a tough call, though, for them to get teenage kids. Like, that's not their demographic. It's very impressive.
Damn it, Ray.
How'd they impress him?
Yeah, like, way to go. It'll pull some game. You'd think they wouldn't be into it.
Ray, you were right. Please don't go. KC and the Sunshine Band. Look at you. You really know music very well.
That was a guess. I was doubting myself as I was saying that.
Good job. And released 1979.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
What is it? Please Don't Go?
Yeah. Please Don't Go.
That's what he sings to teenage boys.
Babe, I love you so. And I want you to know. I'm typing this into my search. But instead of KC Sunshine, I type in teenage. All right, here it is.
That's such a weirdo song.
What made it, of course, the best of a KC and the Sunshine Band?
It was very popular. Maybe it's not the same song, though.
Please don't go.
Oh, then it was remade.
I'm begging you to stay. Cause I need your loving.
It's a sweet song. I like this song.
Oh my God. Somebody redid it in the 80s then, and that's the version I know, and it was horrendous.
Oh.
It was this guy. I could only picture him as a fat guy. I have no idea what he looks like. No, he had this really weird voice. Babe,
I love you so. And
is that Michael McDonald?
Michael McDonald. Very, I have no idea.
You know my favorite song back in those days, though?
Hold on 1 second.
Keep that. Nope.
Everybody's doing this one.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay, weird. Here's another one.
No. KWS covered it in 1992, Shug Bear sang.
Okay.
So let's try that. Oh my God, DJ Trashy, about the guy who molested the kid, gives a new meaning to Boogeyman. I'm your Boogeyman. I'm your Boogeyman. Turn me on. Ew! Ew!
Yeah.
No wonder kids are afraid of the Boogeyman.
I gotta find out who wrote all these now.
Ew. Nope.
What the fuck?
A lot of people did that song.
Yeah, that's amazing. Sorry, I don't know. I don't remember the guy's name. It wasn't this kind of music. It was a lot slower. It wasn't disco at all.
Oh, well.
Rick Astley. Yes, maybe it could be Astley. It could.
That
be.
That sounds like a creepy voice. Like,
it is, right? Yeah. It could be him.
And never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Never gonna run around.
Astley. You said Astley?
Yeah.
Astley, right?
I'm not sure.
Now that dude should be touching teenage boys. Like that guy. Ugh. Clearly.
I don't know. I don't care.
I'm sorry.
The sheriff's office said detectives continue to interview people and that a grand jury will consider additional charges later. He played bass and drums in the band.
Wow, both?
Yeah, I think with all the band members, like, he wouldn't have to do it.
Casey disputed that the Finch co-founder of the band was, that Finch was co-founder. He was saying that he started it in 1973 and Finch joined a year later. However, in 1973, Do It Good was released featuring Finch. So who knows what's going on there. The serious allegations confronting Mr. Finch, says Casey, have nothing to do with me or the band. Oh, of course not. But it's still a big shame. I'd be like, no, not with you got to put on your bowling alley, Casey and the Sunshine Band, without the child molester. Come on in. Those legal issues associated with this case will be dealt with via the judicial system of the state of Ohio. Our hearts go out to the alleged victims and their family. So it's like Casey knows the answer already. You know,
that's horrible.
I'm not saying it happened, but I'm sorry to the families.
Sorry to Finch. Finch is out.
The King of Awesome is saying, and this is horrible. I used to be in a band whose ex-lead singer went to jail for child porn and dealing cocaine, but the town we played in was full of losers, so nobody cared.
And they brought their kids to the to the bar.
That's like the people like, who are we to judge? We have nothing going on.
Right.
He's more active with his life than I am.
It's something, man, going to these, being in these small towns, bringing up Somerset again. Henda was with me. And we saw this band, remember? And it just happened to be whatever random band, Dirty Dog, something like that. And they were always going to make it when I was, they're not that old, but when I was in high school, they were like going to be break out and be a big deal. And they never left Somerset. How can you be a big deal? You have to, listen up, musicians, you have to leave your small town. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. And they were there, and they were incredible. But they're still playing more covers than anything else. And everybody's mind is still blown.
They were very, very good.
But that's the end of it.
Very good.
They can play anything.
Yeah.
But it's never going anywhere. You have to move. You have to move. By the way, let me mention this. Hemda's selling her U.S. Airways ticket that she got a voucher for. It's a $375 flight voucher. She's going to sell for $300. So you save $75 on your next flight. You can use that towards the purchase of a ticket. It's valid till December 22nd of this year. So email info@keithandthegirl.com if you want it. And you're thinking about using it anyway, so you're fine either way.
Yeah, so I might use it, but if I can get the cash for it now, I'll just...
I hear you.
Cash, yeah.
Where would you go?
I don't know. Did they go to Israel? Maybe Israel?
You want to go to Israel? That's nice and peaceful this time of year.
I wonder if United States Airlines goes to Israel.
It's possible. All
right. There's this bar, the Exchange Bar and Grill, which, you know what, their little gimmick kind of has me. It's in New York City, Gramercy Park, and the prices is kind of like the way stock works. If you, whatever is the most popular on the menu, raises in price least popular lowers in price by 25 cents.
I like it.
Now, they put little limits on it, of course, but it's a cute little thing. Customers can move prices for all beverages and bar snacks, such as hot wings or fried calamari. The prices will fluctuate in 25-cent increments, but will most likely plateau at a $2 change in either direction. A glass of Guinness starts at $6, but could be pushed to as high as $8 or a low of $4, depending on the popularity.
Here's the thing. This is in New York.
Yeah.
So the people outside of New York are going, holy shit, all of that is expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, those prices are just blowing people's
Your
minds.
Your lowest is $4.
Yeah. yeah. So the only people who are, you know, even genuinely remotely, I get, well, it is in New York right. anyway, but it's just like, wow, really can go to $8? You know, it, right. somewhere else you can buy an entire meal for your family.
Now, New York's an extreme. You can go to a bigger, you can go to just a city bigger than the one you're in, musicians, but I'm telling you, if a beer is a dollar, you need to move if you want your career to take off. If you tip a dollar and the bartender thinks you're fucking with her by being Mr. Rockefeller, if it's an insult to tip a dollar because you're being some kind of asshole and she doesn't want to be indebted to you for life, you got to move. I'm changing somebody's life today. I feel it.
You know what's great? They're talking about small towns. I was doing shows in Minot, North Dakota, and there's, I guess, Def Leppard was there not too long ago.
Oh, wow. Is it weird that I'm saying, oh, wow? I'd totally go.
No, well, here's the thing. Like, because a couple of the people that were there were wearing Def Leppard shirts, like T-shirts, but like not ironically. Like,
right.
And that's when you know you're in a small town, when they're wearing Def Leppard shirts and they're fucking serious.
I live in a small town right here in my house.
I would fucking rock a Def Leppard shirt. Why not? Like, I would do it. And I guess it wouldn't be ironic. But you know what I mean? At right. least be aware that it might be considered ironic, right. is what I will say.
I don't play Sexy Back, redone by Poison, and not understand why Ray has a quizzical look. I understand.
Yeah, exactly. Not saying you don't like it, but it's...
Right. So if one drink is in heavy demand getting back to this restaurant, its price will rise, causing the cost of other equivalent drinks to drop. A rush on a particular beer would increase its price and cause other beers to drop. I wonder if it's a pain in the ass for the bartender, being asked all the time, what's the lowest? What's the lowest?
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter to me.
You know what's a bigger pain in the ass, though?
I guess you can look on the... I bet there's a computer screen, like a ticker tape.
Right.
They think it's cute.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. But what's worse is, you know, you're a bartender and you don't get any business, which means you're not getting paid at all, so...
Then they should all be low. They should all be $4. $4 across the board.
That's really cheap in New York.
Yeah. If no one's in there, I'd be like...
Oh, yeah, you're the you come when the door's open.
Yeah. Nothing's selling. Don't tell me it's fucking $8. Fuck you. Who's been buying these $8 beers?
But you hope that never catches on. Or then, so then your highest price is 11 a.m.
Yeah, also, though, that if you're the owner, you're kind of given liberty for them to skim from you. You know what I mean? Like, why couldn't bartender be, oh, that's $8. Really? They're all $8? You know what I mean?
Well, I guess you got to type it in anyway, and it's probably related to the computer. But why add one more thing, man?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Being a bartender or waiter is hard enough. It really is.
Yeah.
Don't add one more thing to me. I got enough going on.
Yeah, it's true.
That's it. I quit. And it sounded fun. Gramercy Park. I'm out. I'm done. No, thank you. Jamira has a question before we get out of here today, and here's what she asks. She says, we know Jamira, of course.
She lives in Connecticut and sometimes comes to some of the New York events. She was on the cruise with us.
Hmm.
We have a DVD of that very hot lady. You could see her in a bikini. KeithandtheGirl.com/store.
You can see her in a bikini. You know what? She's engaged now. Do you know that?
No, I didn't
I believe
know
she's
that.
Engaged. Or it's just very serious. I think engaged. And when I heard it, it makes... You ever get jealous? You know, it made me sad. I'm like, damn it, she's taken?
Mm.
Like, it makes no sense. We never had a time, but I'm like, oh, that's too bad. I take that, no? Is it just me?
That's so romantic, Keith. Thank you.
I think about it, I'm like, no, but it made me happy that Sandra Bullock broke up with Jesse James.
Really?
Now you have a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not even, I don't, that's as far as I think. See, you're confused.
So because Jamira you're thinking this and Sandra Bullock are on your list of five people.
I didn't think... No, there's everybody.
Everybody's on the list. Am I on the list?
Sure.
Is Siskel and Ebert on the list?
All females. It's like, ah, too bad.
Every one of them? Even Tamika?
Tamika.
Not Tamika. What's her name? The big heavyset girl. The one that...
Fat Pig Tamika as opposed to Black Tamika?
Yeah. Not, we all know Black Tamika.
Yeah,
she's cool.
Black Tamika's hot. We're talking about
Precious?
Yeah, we're talking about your big heavyset one, the one that...
No.
She's not on the list?
No. Obviously, I'm picky. If you're under 150 pounds, you're on the list.
150.
But no, I'm just like, oh, that sounds sad. You're supposed to be in a relationship. I don't think about it further than that. I'm like, that's too bad you're taken. You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
I hear what you're saying. Like, we like to think like, that we got.
Right. Like, I would, like, if she doesn't marry this guy, this one we're talking about, Jamera, I'd go, oh, good, you're free. And then she would go, you want to go on a date? I'm like, no. You're confused. I just like to know you're out there. That's all.
Okay, this is one of those, just a guy's mind thing and whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a list of, like, dudes that... You fucking mentioned it today. The new New York One guy.
1 second.
Not me.
The paddy wagon's outside. They're taking me away.
No, I wasn't swooning.
You just said you wanted to blow him and him and put the newspaper over your head. That's not into the guy. Like, I don't even like him.
I wasn't talking about me.
Who are you talking about? Who did you want to blow him?
No, the atmosphere in there was of that girls were swooning.
Oh, all right.
Well, it made me awkward. It made me uncomfortable.
I thought you were talking about you. You were like, I guess
no,
I'll...
No.
So you're saying the same thing, but in a different way.
No,
like,
but...
you could see why girls would want to blow him.
Yes.
All right.
I see
women are tricky, Keith. Fucking, they're fucking...
That's going to be today's poll, if I'm insane thinking this. Yeah. I just like to know they're out there. Yeah. That's all. I'm not marrying her. This isn't an insult to her. I don't think she wants to marry me.
Would you eat her out while she read the newspaper?
Oh, absolutely. But I ain't putting a ring on it. You know what? They're sucking me in. I'm typing in another band name for Please Don't Go.
The KWS one?
No, I tried that. I don't know what people are talking about. But I have this one, the W, that was a big hit in Europe.
That's it.
That's the one.
It was faster than I remember. The beginning is weird.
That's
you to stay.
I love you so. Please, I want you to know.
Same person, but not the club mix.
That I'm gonna miss your love. The minute you walk out that door. Please don't go.
It's a good song. I like it.
Yeah, okay.
Nope.
All right, but you're shitting on Def Leppard. All right.
You know the song, though, from that genre that I wish they would remake more? That was a great song. Remember Sailing by Christopher Cross?
Sailing.
So good.
Take me away to where I want to be.
It's such a good song, right?
You're so eclectic.
Oh, it's such a good song.
Ray DeVito, we should test him because it's the most hilarious thing. You name any song and he knows how to sing it in the worst possible way, but he'll know all the lyrics and you won't recognize the song by the way he sings. But you're pretty impressive. And a range of things like R&B, old school rap, hip hop, and then all of a sudden Sailing.
Same?
It's amazing. You're very impressive.
Well, thank you, Hemda.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's me.
That's you.
He's like, see?
Oh.
I am amazing.
Well, here's what Jamera's saying. She has a coworker, excuse me, that's constantly watching her. What does she do? He comes by, she writes, from a distance, almost every day after 5 to see if you are still in the office. He asks about your weekends, only to then turn around and tell your boss while also mentioning to your boss how they were working oh so hard over the weekend. So he's like, yeah, what did he do? I don't know. Watched the movie, saw a friend. Oh, hey, by the way, Jamera was watching a movie and seeing a friend I was working on.
That's disgusting.
It's funny because a while ago he came by asking what I was listening to and I told him podcast. And he says, oh, I don't see how you can listen to that and work. A few days later, my boss comes by and was asking if I was listening to my podcast. Never told him I listen to podcasts. I said yes, and he actually ended up curious what I was listening to. I said the CNET ones, so I look businessy. I've already stopped having personal conversations with this guy since I noticed he was only using it as fodder to flip around and make himself look good to the boss. But I and other people that sit near me still catch him lurking around after hours to see if I'm here. I could ignore it, but it's just getting aggravating that this guy is constantly keeping tabs on me and pretending to befriend me. And it's bad when other coworkers are noticing it too. The sad part is he's in his late 30s or early 40s doing this nonsense. He's a grown-ass man with a kid, and he's worried about me. Jamera, quantitative analyst. Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, now I'm really jealous. I didn't know. Quantitative analyst.
Do you have an answer? I have.
I say, you know what? You already know it's at this weird place. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, I know you're being a weirdo. Going to the boss about petty things I'm doing.
Nope, you never worked in an office.
No,
you can't do that.
Why? Yeah, why?
Can't. Absolutely not.
Why? See, you can't.
Ray worked longer in an office. He's going to agree with me.
Why can't you do that?
It's not normal life. It's just not.
It's not normal now.
No, but it doesn't matter. That's more normal than what you're talking about. That's why they have an HR person. You know what an HR person is?
Mm-hmm.
A babysitter. She really is. She's mommy.
But you don't talk to HR. I don't think so.
That's the only solution I can come up with.
You just ignore, just give him the cold shoulder and like don't really talk to him and then totally distance and he'll back off. Like,
I think she's already being distanced. I think the other thing would be to be passive aggressive and just be like,
how so?
Hey, around the corner, what's up? I don't know. I haven't come up with anything.
I do like that. Or I don't even know if it's even passive aggressive. You say that's aggressive aggressive.
No, you're confused what passive aggressive is because you always say your things are aggressive aggressive. Passive aggressive is when you say something, you're being blatant, and that's why you're confusing it with aggressive aggressive. You're being blatant that you're being a jackass, that you're pointing out this person's thing, but you're not giving them. It's done in a way where there's no possible response that you can have. Where you go, so a movie used like. What's something that you would consider aggressive aggressive?
Well, I think how about you if you're just saying, I see you around the corner.
I don't think he's being that kind of person. But see, that's what I was thinking is just going, hey, we're all here after 5. Thanks for checking. That's being passive aggressive.
Yeah, that would make sense. That. Something like that.
Yeah.
Is that making her stomach churn? If it's making her nauseous to do that.
No, very casually. Hey, thanks for checking. We're all here after 5. So he's like. So he has to kind of scurry away like, oh, what does that mean? There's no response to that, you know?
Right.
But if he comes by her desk, she can turn that on him being like, what are you up to? I'm doing this work. Hey, I see you're not doing that or something. You know what I mean? Kind of like, why the fuck are you hanging out by me?
Like, how do you have all this time?
Yeah. Like, why aren't you? You know what I mean? Like, imply that kind of like if you distance, like you cold it. If you make yourself cold, like he'll get the hint. He'll back off. He's not going to. He still wants his job, so he's not going to just keep on you if you call him out on it a little bit.
So, but I say again, you can't be direct. You have to go, working hard on that project? How far are you along in that project?
Yeah, exactly.
How far are you along in that project?
I say put mice in his asshole.
Or that.
Or that.
You know, can you picture that? It'd really make me. I'd stop fucking with you.
You don't think to go to HR?
No, because then you look like a bit of a crybaby.
I don't think that they're allowed to say. And it sounds like everyone sitting around her feels right. The same creepiness. Maybe send an anonymous letter to HR.
How about you say?
Yeah, an anonymous letter from a different email.
How about you talk to your HR people, human resources, and you say, look, this guy's being sexually inappropriate.
Well, now you're lying. And take you can really fuck with somebody that
take
way.
A look at him. I find it inappropriate that you're hanging out after hours and spying on me.
Oh, forget telling your HR person because that's, you know, you're crossing into something that you don't want to cross into. How about this?
But you just convinced me.
How about this?
I already made the call.
No, listen to this, especially if she has a ring on her finger right now, you know, mm-hmm. But even if she doesn't, she goes.
Tell your husband to beat him up.
No, she goes. Oh. She goes, look, you know, I noticed that you're, you know, around a lot. And, you know, I hope I'm not giving you the wrong idea. I am engaged. So thanks for, you know, checking on me. It's really nice.
That's
you're being really
best.
Friendly.
Yeah, that's the way to go about it.
And so now he's scared that he's, you know, hitting on someone when he doesn't mean to. But she can go to HR with that. If he thinks telling on people is the way to go, he might think that she's going to tell on him for hitting on her.
Right.
So I think that's the way to go.
That's a better way to go. That's
hey, thanks for
brilliant.
Asking about my weekend, but I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about this because, you know, I'm going to be getting married pretty soon. We're very serious and you're a very sweet person, but I'm going to have to limit our interaction because I'm afraid that this is inappropriate for my situation.
Yeah,
like just like that.
Because dudes in general, like, hate it when girls, like, at least I feel weird when girls like talk about their boyfriends or husbands.
Yeah, like what did I say?
Like all the time. Like, did I say something that would lead?
You're right. I call
How's that
good. It's perfect. I call that passive.
Because if you go to HR, now you're putting the crosshairs on yourself. You put yourself under the microscope too, because now it's like you better make sure your shit's clean.
Yeah, I would say if you do that, maybe send an anonymous letter and speak for your whole section. But yeah, I think make him feel as uncomfortable as you feel. Pretend like he's hitting on you. And say it like I did. Don't say, I think you're hitting on me. Say, you know, because I have a boyfriend, I'm starting to feel like our interactions are a little inappropriate. So thanks for being kind to me. I know we're co-workers. I'd like to leave it at that. Thank you.
And then run your hand up your thigh. And when he goes down to look, go, did you just...
And then just face your computer really quick and type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wear one of those skirts I seen you in. Perfect. Rhoda Tate understands. He says, hey, I'll be happy when Katie Holmes breaks up with Tom Cruise, even if it's retarded. He's not making plans to marry her, but it makes sense.
Well, I'll be happy about that because I feel like her shackles are somehow broken. Right. You know,
you're happy for different reasons.
She's being enslaved, yes. I'm happy for her freedom.
Ray DeVito, I don't know if you know this, your website is raydevito.net. You go there, you see where you perform live.
Yeah.
And you're doing more road work nowadays.
Yeah. First week of April, if you're in Cleveland, Akron area, come out to the Funny Stop Comedy Club.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. I'll see you there, buddy.
And Sacapuntas is coming, right?
Yeah, that will be in April. I will not be there because I will be in Ohio. But yeah, it's a good show. A lot of good. Eugene Merman, Patrick Borelli will be there.
So those are good names. Times.
All right. Who's your buddy going to be arguing with on stage?
Patrick Borelli's going to take my spot. So he's fucking great. I don't know if you've seen him, but yeah, he's awesome.
If
he's
people a good keep buddy, people can keep an eye on your website and find out when our great English skit comes out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Very good. Well,
that's
thank
fantastic.
You.
That's fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Always.
And just really quickly, Jeremy, just like he did last week, is putting together because a lot of people come from out of town for the April 15th week. He puts together an itinerary for the entire week. So if you show up a day or two ahead of time, he shows you New York. There are maps to everything. He helps you find the venues that we're located at, and he has lunches, special KTG lunches. So all that itinerary is now officially posted on keithandthegirl.com/forums. If you look at our meetup section, you can follow him and where everyone's going to be.
There you have it. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week. Have a great weekend. I love you, and I'll talk to you later. keithandthegirl.com